you are welcome. It's we agreed that we will give you another opportunity to come and again take us through your submission. We will then, and honorable members, do the normals because we can assume that everybody knows us. I'm Linda Retunjo, I'm the chair of the Portfolio Homes and Health. Next to me is Vyokaz Matalamba, the secretary of the Portfolio Committee. At the back, on the extreme left, Lindo Kuhle, who is the content advisor. Zobe, who is our researcher, a standard researcher for the study group of the African National Congress. Bali, who is our committee assistant. I will then allow honorable members to introduce themselves, and then it will be our guests. We will use mics. Those are the formalities. I'll hand over to you, honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. And myself, to the local committee at the Mopil of Parliament.
Good day, my name is Rachel Adams. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Comrade Ishmael.
Good afternoon, Dr. Susan Tembekwaye, member of the Committee on Health. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Lungiswa James, member of this committee.
Good afternoon. Mbulelo Nkonzo, member of the PC on health. Thank you.
Sanibonani, igama lami nguNonhlanhla Ncube-Ndaba, oyilunga lale committee.
I will hand over to the department and then our
afternoon. My name is Malibona Precious Matusa. I'm the DG of Health. I'm joined by the team from the department, Dr. Peter.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. I'm Ben Pele from the National Department of Health.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Michael Mwabelo from the National Department of Health.
Good afternoon. My name is Sidney Khara. I'm from NEHAWU head office.
Afternoon. My name is Sofa Tomaralo from NEHAWU head office.
Afternoon. My name is Tengo Tengela. I'm from NEHAWU parliamentary office.
Afternoon, honorable members. My name is Cindy Lesoilana from National Department of Health.
Good afternoon. My name is Tawaka Spasama, Minister of Health.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jane Roldsmith from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We won't waste any time. We'll hand over to Mehau to take us through.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon once again to the Portfolio Committee. And we would like to thank the Portfolio Committee for affording us this second opportunity to present again to you, honorable members. As you might have seen that we, as you remember that we were here the last time, and we are this full delegation now, being joined by the head of the policy unit, Mr. Sidney Khara. Three of us was here with me when we made the initial presentation. So, Chair, the National Union of the National Education Health and Allied Workers Union, Chair, applauds the Portfolio Committee for inviting us to participate in this important legislative process. We're here before, as I indicated earlier, to deal with this Schedule 3B public entity established as the National Laboratory Services Act number 37 of 2000, which was through consultation with stakeholders, in particular us, labor, and other stakeholders. We understand the main objectives as to be to provide proper health care for all, especially the poor and the marginalized, as well as to keep the proliferation and dominance of the private laboratories. Chair, from the start, our submission is that the National Health and Allied Workers Union fully supports the amendments as proposed in the National Health Laboratory Services Bill of 2017. But the area, Chair, which we want to highlight for your consideration, which you think there are areas which we want to highlight per the proposed amendments. We want to deal with the proposed amendments specifically. So from the start, as we indicated, support of the objective of the bill as stated in the preamble, because this will bring about stability, efficiency, good governance, financial sustainability, and strengthening accountability and alignment of the institution with its core mandate of providing diagnostic health laboratory services. However, we note the fact that whilst part of the objectives about talking about financial sustainability, the bill doesn't speak quite concretely of what could constitute the funding model that could be able to bring about that financial sustainability in the institution. So as we deal with the proposed amendments, we'll make our proposal what we think should be the way forward. The bill seeks to amend the National Health Laboratory Services in order to improve the governance, accountability, and sustainability of the National Health Laboratory Services. The said improvements will enable the service to provide diagnostic health laboratory services in a more cost-effective manner and with greater efficiency, thereby increasing the quality of clinical care provided to patients through timely and judicious clinical management. Now, in dealing with the amendment as proposed, we're dealing with the amendment of Section 3. Section 3 of the Principal Act, Chair, in the bill is proposed is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 2 of the following subsection 2, the Public Finance Management Act 999, Act of 999, September 991, and the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. So, NEHAU, Chair, supports the proposed amendments of this section because they will promote good governance, accountability, and strengthening the functioning of the board. We also welcome the fact that the Principal Act will be amended so as to make it compliant with the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act of 2000. Because, from our standpoint, this is in line with our call that all state entities and government agencies must comply with this important legislation. Then we deal with the amendments of Section 4. The amendment of Section 4 of Act 37 of 2000, as per the section of the principal is thereby amended by the substitution of paragraph A for the words preceding subparagraph I of the following words, provide cost-effective and efficient diagnostic health and services to, and by the substitution for paragraph C of the following paragraph C, provide the support training for health science education. We support the amendments with no addition. That's our submission, Chair. On the amendment of Section 5 of Act 37 of 2000, the section of the principal is thereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph 3 of the following paragraph B, promote the training of its laboratory and associate personnel. NEHAU chair agrees with this amendment because this will promote skills development and it's in line with the South African skills development and labor market legislation. So it's supportive. Then, Chair, amendment of Section 4 of Act 7 of 2000. The section of the present is amended by the substitutional paragraph for the words preceding paragraph of the words of, no, sorry, I'm repeating. Okay, now, yeah. So, amendment of Section 5. Chair, under Section 5 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph B of the following paragraph B, promote the training of supervisory personnel, also indicated that we support that. Then we, okay, substitution of Section 7 of the Principal Act, composition of the board. In terms of the new Section 7, the board will consist of the chief executive officer by virtue of his or her office, the chief financial officer of the service by virtue of his or her office, three members representing the National Department of Health, the Department of Science and Technology, the higher education sector, three representatives of the provincial departments, six members who must have extensive experience in the field of commerce, finance, auditing, economic matters, etc. So it is further proposed that the board is accountable to the Minister of Health. So as NEHAU chair, we support the amendment with an addition of given that the Principal Act previously was allowing one representative from labor, which in the current in this proposal is not there. We propose that the what was in the Principal Act with regards to the representation of labor be maintained so that there is a representation of labor in the board. So that is our submission on this one, because according to the Act, there has not been, there is no rationale that has been given as to why representation from labor is must be removed or not. So we assume that it was an oversight. I mean, there was a mistake. So we think that in order to deal with that, we need to maintain the current current understanding that prevails in the Principal Act. That is our proposal, Chair. Then, Chair, we then deal with the amendments of Section 8. Section 8 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1 and 2 of the following subsections respectively. 1, the minister must appoint the members contemplated in Section 7B, C, D, E, F, and G, Section 7.1, C, 1, and all of that, after consultation with the relevant bodies and institutions, and must ensure that appropriate laboratory professionals are appointed. The minister must, before appointing the members contemplated in Section 7D, Section 7.1E, by notice in the Gazette, in the national newspaper, circulating in every province of the Republic, invite all interested persons to nominate within the period specified in the notice, persons who, in the opinion of such interested persons, are fit to be so appointed, stating the grounds upon which such opinion is based. So, Chair, again, NEHAU supports the amendment with the inclusion of what we have suggested previously, that there must be that inclusion of the of a labor rep. So that is that's what we are proposing on that. Subsection 9, 10, and 10A. So NEHAU endorses the proposed amendments with no additions at all, as they are, we support them. Amendments of Section 11, 13, and 13B, we support the amendments again, Chair, with no additions. Amendments of Section 18. So that's where, Chair, we, in the absence of what we have identified earlier on, that why is the amendment bill is intending, I mean, its objective is to bring about financial sustainability. There is no suggestion as to how that financial sustainability would be brought about. Now, it talks to the issue around the funding model. So, as Nehawu, we are proposing that not withstanding the need to develop a real scientific, well thought through funding model, we are making the following submission that its core funding will be that, Nehawu proposal is that the National Health NHS funding model must be the following. Its core funding would be money appropriated by Parliament directly to NHLS. Secondly, fees received from service rendered. Fees received from foreign governments and private entities. Remember that the NHLS also does serve some foreign governments. It assists in providing some services. So fees that may be attained from those entities and private entities could be also used to fund it. But we are of the view that in the final analysis, there should be a core funding that parliaments appropriate to the institution directly, so that you deal with financial sustainability and other things. My colleagues here, may be able to make some additions after my presentation on what are the other issues in regards to this proposal that I'm making. But that's the concrete proposal as it stands now to deal with. Because if you look at the other legislation, there is a clear indication of where an institution will be funded. I mean, if you look at NAPISA, you know, there is a proposed funding model and all those things. So this, we think that this will be able to deal with that, and then we can deal with specificities of how other mechanisms could be developed to fund it. But our view is for the sustainability of the institution, but also for the functioning of the institution, there must be core funding that is directly coming from Parliament. That's what we are proposing. Chair, those would constitute our submission, our oral submission to this portfolio committee. And thank you very much for giving us this second opportunity. If there are any other questions, Chair, my colleagues and myself will be able to answer with regards to the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additions? Honourable members, there is the submission from the Nehawu. Any questions, comments? Honourable Mahlale.
No, thanks. And welcome the presentation. Unfortunately, I don't. I came here and left my bill in the office. Do we have? I wonder if the same interpretation and understanding, because there's somewhere where. No, thanks. I'll just quickly go to clause that's 8. Just to have a comparison with what they've raised and what has been raised here. I'm raising this in the context that we must have the same understanding with Nehawu, that everything that is is put in the, I'm not sure what do you call this big bracket, in square, additions. I'm not sure whether that we've got the same understanding. Because when he was reading it, he was reading as part of the insertion. While if you read the bill, the understanding is that everything that is in the square is an omission that is to be deleted, that is to be removed. And then anything that is new is the one that is underlined. So that we don't read in differently, we have got the same understanding. For example, your section 8 where you are reading section B, 7B, C, E, F, C, F, these are deleted. That should be the understanding. That is deletion. But when he was reading it, I didn't get the understanding that it's a deletion. He was reading as if it's no, it's something that exists that still have to be considered while it's a deletion. So if you get the same understanding, then I'll be comfortable with that. That goes to the same with section D, section 7D, that's a deletion, and then the others then get, the one that is underlined is section 7.1E, it's a new insertion. So that we have got the same interpretation, so that we don't have that confusion at the end. So that's one issue. Then the last issue here is the last one, which is, that's the one I understand to be a new proposal. No, two issues. One is the representation of the labor movement that you think it was an omission. If let's say, for example, it's not an omission, because I'm not sure whether under the composition, let me just check whether, because if it was included and it's an omission, it must be reflected as being deleted. Well, unfortunately, it's not reflected that it's being a deletion, which means it might be either an omission. We'll have to get it from the department. Because if it was a deletion, it should have been put in the square so that it reflects that it's no more needed. But because it's not said anything about it, the assumption is that it is still there. That's the assumption. Because anything that has not been deleted, which is in the principal act, the understanding that it still remains. That's how I understood it. And therefore, what is being now proposed to be is something that is added from what is there in the principal act. That's my interpretation of the law, because there's no way they would want the deletion of the labor representation without it being reflected as a deletion in the principal act, as the proposal of the amendment. So because it's missing, I don't think it's an omission. It's that it is not touched. It remains in the principal act. That's how I understand it. But the department clarifies that, but that's how I interpret it, that anything that is in the principal act, which is not being deleted, not reflected in the amendment, which means still remain as they are. That's my interpretation. Then coming to the last issue, then the the funding mocking, is the proposal that we are raising include the current mocking, or because there is a current mocking funding. Does that exclude the current model where the bulk of NHLS funding is still funded by government, but from this, from where it delivered the service? And mainly the service is delivered at another sphere of government, which is the provincial sphere. And that's where the bulk of the service delivered. And that's where the bulk of the budget of NHLS comes from, which is also appropriated through DORA by Parliament. It is still appropriated by Parliament, but through DORA. It's not that it's not appropriated. It is appropriated through DORA by Parliament, but it goes to the provincial government, of which then the provincial government then equitably distribute the resources, which is still a government, because we've got one government, just the spheres that it operates. So what are you concretely saying in relation to that? Because you say, you know, it must be appropriate by Parliament. It is still appropriate. Technically, still appropriated by Parliament. And through a DORA process. But you have got two types of appropriation. We have got the DORA process, then we've got the National Appropriation Bill, the one that allocates budgets to national departments. And then, like the other entities, that is your some of the entities that are with the, in the Department of Health, that money is appropriated in the National Department. And then the National Department then allocates those funds to those entities. Is that the model that you are looking for? Or because taking into consideration that this function, it's a concurrent function. It's a Section 7. That's why even the bill is classified as Section 76 because of the nature of the work that the laboratory service is doing, is performing, mainly is providing service to the other spheres of government. And therefore, what exactly are you proposing so that we are able to understand when finally we debate this matter, we are able to have a better picture and understanding which model are you saying, are we still going to proceed with the current model? In addition to that, there must be additional funding that gets appropriated by the National Department of Health to then allocate it to NHLS, while on the other hand, it keeps on providing service to provincial and local authorities and build them. Is that the understanding? And then bill them and then they pay. So that at least you understand exactly. Or you want us to say within the DORA, let that money be removed from DORA and then be appropriated in the National Department. So that at least we have got that understanding. And then when then that happens, then it means NHLS, whenever it bills province, it must not be expected to pay to be paid. So that's what we want to understand. And how, and if that is the case, how do you manage a situation where provincial department just send tests unlimitedly because now there's no cost involved to them? How do you manage that? So we need to get that understanding so that at least final, when we're able to make a final amendment of the bill, at least we've got the same understanding in terms of that funding model. Thanks.
Okay, it looks that that's the only, those are the only questions and comments. Can you respond, and then after you have responded, we then request the department to come in. Now?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps my comrades will deal with other questions. I thought I should respond to the very last question, because I think it's a key question in the context of the challenges that the institution is facing. And you would have imagined that in the midst of those challenges, if there would be an opportunity to make an amendment, the systemic issue of funding model would be part of dealing with the problems. As it were, at the moment, it's more the governance issue that seems to be dealing with the dynamics related to funding, which may be helpful, but we're making this proposal understanding that it's not just an issue of governance, it's also a systemic issue of the financial model. And we're making that proposal because when the bill was, when the legislation was passed around 2000, part of our submission at that time was a critique of this type of institutions, the agentification of services by the state to stand alone, to run them along commercial lines, assuming that through models like fee for service they can be self-sustaining. We're in this position because of that. So we would have thought that part of the response from the department is to appreciate that this too needs to be looked into. So, and I think Comrade Tengu, our parliamentary officer, did indicate that we don't pretend like we're providing a comprehensive solution. It requires much more in-depth, scientific, to use his words, scientifically guided solution. But in relation to what we are saying is that the key thing is for stability of the institution. And we're making this proposal appreciating the constitutional context of division of revenue, where currently, if you say provinces are already allocating for finances related to laboratory services, then it must be assigned nationally. What we are proposing is that there must be co-funding related to the operations of the institution, such that its sustainability is not dependent on the fees coming from provinces for its sustainability. So there must be a mandatory proposal, financing by national, of what is for us an national institution. It doesn't exclude continuous allocations by provinces in order for them to obtain their requests. It may mean that in that context, because there's no unlimited resources, provinces will be charged in terms of the tariffs differently. That might have to be reviewed. That's part of what we think needs to be looked into. And I think that is important also because we are also aware that as provinces, in terms of the DORA, get their own share of the national revenue, they have their own priorities, which may be different from what may be seen from a health department. National priority in terms of our health crisis in the country. But when it's done at a national level, allocated in that way for the sustainability institution is different. So as we say, it doesn't exclude continuous allocations by provinces themselves, but it may have implications on how much is allocated to health to them in that context. Yeah, so our preference would have been a relook at the entire financial model, so that because I think we are not convinced that every test that is being done is actually required. There are tests that are, and the issue of this fee for service is also meant to deal with demand management of the request, but it doesn't seem to be affecting that. So it will be a missed opportunity if these amendments also don't perhaps trigger a review of the funding model. And we think that these are proposals that can be among many that are looking to in the process. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah. No, thanks. I think also maybe to, I think Commissioner in attempt to talk whether the issue is that also emphasize on the issue of whether the province, because one of the things we want to avoid what Honourable Fish was raising, because if we make it appropriate at the national level and we expect another entity to provide the services to the provinces where they're not charged and there's no control to the request, it can be chaotic. And the issue that is try to get a combination of the two models, which is the current model, but obviously with the review tariffs that will take in consideration that despite that there will be what we call a baseline funding done at the level of national, through the national bill, as a baseline funding. Then if you have a baseline funding that will keep the institution to move, because you also want to instill in the responsibility of the provinces in terms of making sure that they don't just request tests, then you allow that the secondary funding will be through the fees rendered to the provinces, that they can still be a responsibility of the province on the issue of the model on the funding. Which is, as we're saying, that what Commission was also indicating, that we don't want to come, and we feel that also that through these processes, there should have been more analysis of the situation in terms of what would have been the experience. And the department would have assisted us as far to make sure that there's more understanding of what has been happening in terms of the money pace. We know that we have many crises in terms of the finance, that provinces are not paying the services. But ultimately, what happened to that money? I think it's something that we think the department should have gone further in this opportunity of dealing with the bill, to able to bring out more information that can allow us to get to the proper solution moving forward on this matter. I think on the issue of the labor representative, we want to agree with the assumption. Our understanding is that if it was an omission, we want to highlight it. But I think the assessment from the Honorable Fish that if it's not highlighted, it means no omission. We're happy with that. We just wanted to make sure that it's not it's something that is, we don't want to be assuming, we want to be sure and highlight it, because we think it's a critical stakeholder to make sure that the institution run, and we can go back to the history how this the representative of labor have assisted to resolve many crises in that institution, and we have a proper governance. It will be proper to have a cross-stakeholder representation in the board. Thanks.
No. Thank you, Chair. With regards to the understanding on division, we have a similar understanding. So, Chair, I think most of the questions that have been asked, we've been able to answer them. And unless there are any other things, thank you.
Are you institutional meetings, committee meetings? No, thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, thank you, members. I just wanted, there's something that I missed in how before the labor representation, what you were trying to explain to reflect on in terms of the role of the department. I don't want to assume that you are saying in the challenges, in the financial challenges of the National Laboratory Services, you have not been exposed, that the department has not come up out clearly to you as one of the stakeholders to say these are the challenges. I couldn't just get it clear. I just want you, if you don't mind, if you can just explain that part so that I understand.
No, thank you. I think the point we're making is that, Chair, is that we know at the superficial value that that has been challenges. One of the things that we know is that that the NHLS will provide service to the provinces, and they will build the provinces, and the provinces will not all provinces, without mentioning the one I know by name, but they will not pay the bills. Then that will cripple the financial sustainability of the institution. But the understanding is that, I think the emphasis is that we have one government. And the issue that we wanted to emphasize that is that analysis. When we were here, there was always emphasized that NHLS is part of government. The issue is that if there's such situation, to what extent the entities of the department, and which is also responsible to go in deeper analysis that what caused these problems and what happened to the money. We don't want to get a situation of thumbsucking that the money was allocated but the money was shifted and all those things. Our point was saying that despite knowing that the provinces are not paying the bills as expected, but the money was allocated, and what happened? To what extent the department have went further to want to know that what exactly happening when provinces are not paying the bills, that whatever we come within, we all have understanding. We don't want to be thumbsucking that because they've decided to shift the money or what. What is exactly the reason? We know for the fact there's been some money spent on, in particular, getting service outside to verify the bills, because there's been counter claims that NHLS have overbilled the department, the provinces, and the provinces will counter also saying that those kind of things. We need more deeper information exactly what happened, that when we come with the model, we know that what are we exactly we're doing without forgetting what happened. The historical information can assist us to bring a solution to our current challenges. Thank you.
No, thank you. Chichi, I don't know whether you... Okay, can I... Honorable myself before I...
Thank you, Chair. What will NEHAU's position be if the NHLS is declared an essential service, considering its role in the health sphere? Would you be comfortable with that? That's number one. Number two, are you comfortable with the situation where the minister is given a permit to appoint the board instead of parliament? Could you explain whether you are comfortable with that? Thank you.
No,
thank you, Shepard. Maybe let me start with the first question, the last question. Our understanding is that yes, indeed, we are comfortable with the minister because we believe that the minister, we understand the role of parliament. Whatever decision the minister takes, he still has a responsibility to take it to the parliament, and the parliament can question if they think there's whatever happened, there was no rationale on his appointment. I think the institution has capacity to take the minister head on in terms of accountability. And we are comfortable with the arrangement that the minister appoint the board, because we still believe that the parliament can still play the oversight in terms of the whether it's a rational or irrational decision on that. Yes, NEHAU are comfortable with that appointment. On the second issues of essential services, the answer is we will not be happy with that.
We think we're more responsible to able to balance. We don't need any other institution to enforce us to be essential services and all that part. We'll be comfortable with the current arrangement where institution remain is not an essential service. Thank you.
Can we, because that question is taking us, it's not part of the bill. I would appreciate if we can now allow the department to, if your follow-up was then going to be on the issue of essential services. So we will then, if you can excuse us, we'll then request the DG, the department through the DG, to respond in some of the issues that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond, but also ask Advocate Modelo and Dr. Pillay to respond. Chair, I just want to perhaps start with the comments to say we welcome the comments. I'll respond to the funding model. Chair, when the NHLS Act came into force, it is not all provinces that were included. KZN, and in particular, continued with their services without being part of NHLS, precisely because they did not agree with the model. But what happened as a result of that, when they became integrated, one thing they requested was that they wanted to be paid based on capitation. But the way the Act is written, the fee structure is actually a fee-for-service model. So KZN would only pay a capped amount, which was not consistent with the volume of work that was rendered by NHLS. As a result, Chair, we commissioned work to look at exactly what would be an appropriate system of financing. And in that period, we also commissioned some audit of the activities of NHLS. Now the outcome was that it was quite clear that with the volumes of tests that were conducted, there are actually certain tests that are conducted at primary healthcare level, there are certain tests that are conducted at hospital level, there are certain tests that account for a significant proportion of tests rendered, and those I would estimate to be about 80% of the overall tests. And our view is that the remaining 20% are tests that actually should be confined to a fee-for-service model, and the remaining, the 80%, should be based on capitation. I think there's been some modeling that was done, Chair, which modeling was the basis on which we approached Treasury to say we would like to change the funding model, and I think Dr. Pillay will elaborate further. As of September, we're actually piloting the model so that in time of this law we would have finalized this. Chair, why we do that? It is correct that this is not a sustainable system of financing laboratory services. It is not sustainable, Chair, because it is probably the only government-owned institution whereby health workers in that institution always have to guess whether they'll be paid salaries or not, because they don't know whether the system will have funding or not. NHLS sells services to provinces, but in the manner in which they determine how much they should budget for, they do an estimation of tests that are likely to be performed. And based on that, they then work out what their budget should be. So in essence, what it means, Chair, is that if they've budgeted for tests that are worth 6 billion, if for whatever reason the provinces request tests that are worth 3 billion, it means NHLS will not afford the service. So you cannot run a service in that manner on the basis of tests that are going to be performed. If I draw a parallel, if you look at an ordinary business that runs, that says they will sell books, and based on the books, they'll cover their expenses. Now, in this instance, Chair, you cannot run a diagnostic service based on those models, on those principles, and on that model. So it is for that reason that KZN resisted from the onset to be part of NHLS. And when they eventually agreed, actually it was quite recent, they were paying far less than services that are rendered, meaning NHLS was performing tests but getting money that was far less than services that were rendered. So in a way, NHLS was running at a loss, if I were to put it that way. And the argument that were presented is that when KZN Chair started this, when this NHLS Act came into force, there are certain assets that KZN say they were owned by the province. So in the transition, they were of the view that NHLS cannot charge them for services that are owned by them. They own the labs. The NHLS must pay rent. So I don't think it probably may have had good intentions. I mean, this model, when it was conceptualized, because the idea at the time was that former homelands did not have lab services. So this was a way to expand services beyond what was historically white areas, what was historically urban areas. So that was, I think, an intention to do that. But I don't think in the process of designing that, the whole funding model was thought through. So we did this exercise, Chair, and like I said, as of September, we started the pilots. Now, one of the things that we presented to Treasury was that we need front loading for NHLS so that at least salaries of staff can be guaranteed, number one. So that we remove those activities that we think are important and will put the health service at risk if they are not front-loaded. The response at the time was that the manner in which the Act is written does not allow for that. And I think Dr. Keeley will elaborate further. So where we are, Chair, we have worked out that model, and the provinces are currently piloting, so we can bring the results on the basis of the pilot, because we had anticipated that perhaps by the time the Act came into force, would have tested the model for the future so that we can show you what the results are. But Dr. Pile will explain further. Amber.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think the model that we are currently trying, so that I can just give you a sense of what that is a capitated model. So what we are doing as of September is the NHLS delivers two bills to the province. One bill is the fee-for-service bill and the other is the capitated bill, which basically shows what NHLS will pay what the province will pay if NHLS move to a capitation model. The intention is to move away from the fee-for-service approach and encourage the province to get into a gatekeeping arrangement so that this incentive to keep ordering tests simply because, you know, there is no mechanism of gatekeeping to prevent that from happening. So there'll be a pilot phase from September right until the new financial year, when provinces will have an opportunity to see what will be the impact of capitation. The idea being to then move to the capitation model. In the drafting of the bill, our approach about trying to deal with this issue of financing was that given the complexity that the DG just explained, that there is a core component that you want to protect, particularly salaries and other core expenses of the NHLS that you don't want to be threatened by non-payment of services by provincial departments. You may want to fund that separately from other services that the NHLS may render so that you can get a balance. And we thought it would be more appropriate to do that in regulations. And so you would see under the section relating to finance, you would talk about the minister prescribing the way the services will be billed and the way it will be rendered, so that detail can be spelled out. And also so that when the challenges change, the minister could respond more rapidly to them through amendments to the regulations, rather than coming back to have to amend the act each time there's ever a challenge with the way the financing happens. That was our thinking.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pillay. I'm going to deal with the amendment of Section 7, of the Principal Act, being amended by Clause 5 of the bill. The Section 7 is amended by substitution, meaning by replacing it. You will not find the square brackets or the underliner to indicate that this is new or this is out, because the whole of Section 7 has been substituted completely. And the reason being that there were just too many amendments within Section 7 itself, that the better way of amending it in terms of the drafting regulation would be by substitution. If you check the original Section 7, it consisted of so many things. For example, the provinces were all included, that each province will be represented. That means there will be 9 members of the board. And then there were also members of SALGA and Labour. So, and what happened was that the provinces were now, in terms of the new clause, there will be only 3 provinces, no longer 9. And that means 6 provinces will not be represented. And then there is also the issue of the numbers of the people with experience and knowledge that were listed to be 3, I mean to be 4, but only 3 would be appointed. Now the act is clear, it says 6 and it lists them. That means we know these people that we're going to appoint is from legal, economy and whatever. And that means we have added then 2 members to the knowledge and skills section of the members. So that's the reason why then we no longer have SALGA, we no longer have Labour, and we no longer have 6 provinces, but we have 2 additional in the knowledge and experience section. That is why, honourable members, you may not be able to see the changes, because it is substitution. It's amendment by substitution, meaning the whole of Section 7 is replaced with the new one. The new one that also has the new subsection 2. The original one doesn't have subsection 2. Maybe that's the reason why you will not see the square bracket and the underliners. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nehao and honorable members. We had. Is there something?
No, thanks. Maybe we, as we go on deliberation, we'll have to discuss some of the things, because there are things that I don't understand. But maybe as we engage into deliberations, we'll have to go back to these discussions on the deliberations, because if you say only 3 provinces will be represented, the act doesn't say so. Those 3 will not be representing 8 provinces.
So if you say no, only three provinces will be represented, you are creating a problem, literally. You see? And that's how I understood it. But the way he's saying, says no, only three provinces will be represented. And the act says something else about the provincial representation. You see? So that's why I'm saying maybe we need to, we'll have to engage into a discussion. Because I understood it that it's the NHLS that must agree on the three names. I mean the NHS team. So it can't therefore be a provincial representation. That is three provinces represented. No. That's not how I interpret it. But as I'm saying, maybe as we engage in the deliberation, when we come back into the deliberation, we'll have to engage into that. That also includes the issue of the funding model. We'll have to take it further beyond this room before we come back at some other level for further discussions, because I don't see how the bill deal with the issues that the DG and the DDG is raising in the bill. I don't see it in the bill. Because just to say, no, fees will be charged as prescribed by the minister, I don't see how it addresses the issue that the DG is raising and the DDG is raising. I might be wrong, but maybe we'll have to interpret it properly, because I don't see how it addresses that issue. Thanks.
No, I think you are correctly saying when we are then engaging through the process of deliberation, we'll have to engage extensively with some of the issues that have been raised by the department, but also by Nehao. Because obviously this process is just for listening, questions of clarity, and the rest is then we are then going to engage with. I think we have come to thank you very much, Nehao, again for availing yourself. We are now done with you. Thank you very much. As they are preparing to leave, honourable members, we will look into the third item on our agenda, will be the consideration and the adoption of the committee's oversight reports. I'm of the understanding that we've all got those copies. Bali, honourable members, we have got three reports on Northwest Province, Free State, and Gauteng. Am I correct? Those that have been given to members. Okay. I think the whip indicated that they don't have documents. They were sent emails. Am I correct? Can I suggest? Okay, we'll talk that at another time. But I just want to just in case everybody, to ensure that everybody gets them. And you must not assume that everybody opens the iPad and go through the documents. So there must always be a contingency plan that we had hard copies that are put in our pigeonholes. I will talk later on that. We are starting with the Northwest. Come again. Northwest, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Come again?
Maybe on page 3. I would have thought that as they reflect on the issues of...
Is that page 3 or something?
Yeah, I would have thought that they reflect on the issues of the ambulances. They will be able to, so that we don't just generalize, so that we're able to leave this thing, because I was looking at the findings and the recommendation going forward. I don't see it. That the, I thought they are going to reflect that the ambulances is privately provided by a company called Buteles and something. So that we understand where the problem lies. And then we're able, when we go into the findings and recommendation, then we're able to deal with that problem. Because if we just say, you know, the facilities were saying, no, ambulances take as long as about 4 hours or longer than that, without contextualizing it, we might miss the point at the end of the recommendation or the findings.
Thank you. I hope you have noted that. Okay. Page 4. Page 5. And in page 6, we will then be going through our findings and observations. Page 7. On human resource, my apologies. On human resource, I would have thought that although I've struggled to find it in the clinic, that it's only that the theater staff is not trained. I would have thought that because we made an emphasis on the danger of that, but also that we then instructed, if that is the better word, the management that they can't have theater staff that is not trained. They are to ensure that people that are working in theater are theater technique trained and they committed themselves. I would have thought that that will reflect in the minutes in the report itself, so that it also find it in the findings. I hope you are still remembering of that. because we really impressed on them on the dangers of having staff working in theatre that are not theatre technique trained. That is the start of the Honourable Mahlabe of our findings.
No, it's fine, Chen. It's something that I was thinking, but let's leave it because it might create a lot of problems. Let's just accept the... Because I would have thought that if they pick up financial issues, they're going to package them, not cluster them as one sentence. If they go to infrastructure, though they've put it into paragraphs, but say the ethnic burden, each hospital, these are the issues on infrastructure. On the following clinics, these are the issues, maybe in the form of a Roman figures under those subsections. So that at least we have got it clear, understand. But because the report has been long with us, so I will accept it, but I would have loved it would have been handled. Under procurement, you are able to say under laundry services, this is the Roman figure one, these are the issues. Under the laboratory services, these are the issues and all those matters. But now they've clumped it into one issue, it's fine. Hoping that going forward when you write other reports, we'll have to take that into consideration going forward. Thanks. Even if they've not put in the Roman figures, if they put bullets under each, so that at least you understand which was here they're dealing with this, here they're dealing with this, here they're dealing with this. But because they've put together, for you to pick up, you must read and contextualize it before you could understand what they're saying. But I'm saying it's fine for now because we have to pass this report as a long, long, long overdue.
Can I just check with them if is it something difficult to do that, to put it in bullet points? I'm getting an indication that is not difficult. That will be corrected and that is page 7. Page 8. I think on page 8, what Honorable Mahlabe was raising is reflected, but in terms of the report itself, it's not reflected. So if you can ensure that in the report, because when it's in the report, now if it's here, if you go back to the report, a person will struggle to find that. So if you can please correct that. We are now on recommendations.
I thought we'll address on these ambulances issue. I thought we'll have to be very, I mean, we don't understand why it is privatized. Let's start from it. And our recommendation, my view was that we should take a posture that says, no, government must take responsibility of ambulances. It can't be left into the private sector. And when it was run by government in the Northwest, in particular, in Free State, the ambulances were much more effective and efficient than when it is now run, has been privatized. And it has been our view that, these critical services should be rendered by the state, not by the private sector. And therefore, government must take over
the ambulances, and it must revert back to the state. It must render the service itself, not privatize it. I'm not sure whether there's anything around the issue your laundry services, catering, I mean the food that is being provided, where most of the things are privatized. Because some of the things are not necessarily, and they're just making money scheme, like the issue of Nick Borden something hospital. Yeah, well, everything belongs to the state, except one person who is employed as a manager by that company, and the company is the one that buys food. So it buys food with that manager. Everything, the equipment, the staff, and everything, it belongs to government. Why privatize it? We don't understand some of the things. So we have to be explicit to say, no, there are certain services that government must take responsibility, and it must revert back to the state. They must terminate some of these contracts and begin to render service directly to the state court. We don't understand why they're doing this thing in some cases.
Honorable Ndaba. Sorry. Can I get an ignorance on the points that have been raised by Honorable Mahlala? He's proposing an additional recommendation in terms of the ambulances that are used by private. Are you going to speak on that, Honorable Ndaba? Honorable Maisel. Okay.
Yes. Thanks, Chair.
It's going to be Honorable Ndaba, then it's going to be you. After Honorable Ndaba, it's going to be you, Honorable Maisel.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to agree with Honorable Mahlala Chairperson with regards to the issue of ambulances. Our recommendation should be specific to say the two provinces, Northwest and the Free State, they must do away with privatization of ambulances. And ambulances must belong to government. Because, Chair, really, during the time when these ambulances were belonging to government, service sekhona was not as poor as is now. And that one we must be very strict, Chairperson. And with regards to the issues of the kitchen, I want to agree with him 150% if there is 150%. Because if you remember, Chair, in the Northwest, one kitchen was a disaster. And in the Free State, also, there was a hospital with a good in-service kitchen, and there was a hospital with a kitchen which is partially privatized, or it's privatized, as Honorable Fish was saying, but the employees who are working for that private company are permanent employees of government. So I think it must be clear, Chair, these kitchens must not be privatized. I think what I wanted to add also, Chair, is regarding the security issues. If you remember, in the same hospital where we went, Honorable Chair, where there was food was stinking and so on, rotten, there was a bad smelling in the kitchen. There was a problem of security when we there, and the workers were toying. I think the issue is security now. They must not privatize it. I don't think one way or the other, whether we as honorable members, we think a private security is the best solution for our facilities. But for me, I don't think private security in some of the facilities it's not working. But I think what we should recommend also, Honorable Chair, is that they must employ security officers in some of these facilities, and even in the clinics. You remember in some of the clinics that we visited, Lokunjan. I think it was Free State, ne?
Can we are still on Northwest.
Oh, Marabepe and my common issues are fine.
Yeah.
So. Okay, no, it's fine. So, the only thing that I wanted to add is that we need to be specific to say, no, they must not privatize our kitchens and so on and so on.
Right. Honorable Maisel.
Agree that we should there should be a recommendation that the ambulances should be insourced, not outsourced, as well as catering and security. I think it's government policy or department policy that all then what you call it all services must be insourced. You know, because moving away from the outsourcing type of thing, which was just milking the facilities dry. So everything should be insourced as soon as possible. And of course, we should also help them. If the hospital has got no water, it can't run. And it's no point keep bringing patients to a hospital that has no water. And I think in one of the places, many of those places, there were those those tanks which were empty and and sometimes there was just no water. When we went to that other hospital, there was no water at all, and that is one of the most unprofessional things that you can find in a hospital, that there is no water. Which they didn't prepare in advance. Contingency, there are no contingency plans. And they will wait for a truck from some other town to bring water for them. Thanks.
Honorable Ndaba, are you still on Northwest? We are on Northwest.
Yeah.
We're dealing with the report on Northwest, the additions were on I'm trying so that we,
yeah.
The addition is on the recommendation. Correction is that in the minutes we must reflect on the issue of the Buthelezi private ambulance services, that because it has been reflected on the findings, and we strongly recommend that they must outsource and use the government, and use the government ambulances. We also requested the Secretariat that in terms of the findings, they must try the level best of put that on bullet points so that we don't clap everything into one sentence. That's includes on page 7 financial management, infrastructure and all that. And lastly, it's about the issue of human resource,
yeah.
In particular around the issue of nurses who are to be trained, who are working, because we must make a follow-up on that. If those nurses that are working in theatre are theatre technique trained. Those are the additions. Honourable Mashaya?
I was saying, Chair, I'm not sure whether is it possible for, as they do with the recommendation, to also structure it in the way we dealt with the findings. To say on human resource, these are the recommendations. On financial management, these are the recommendations. On infrastructure, on procurement, just like that. So that anybody reading must be able to link the findings and the recommendations.
I would have then thought that you say with that you.
No, with that, with those amendments that they're going to put in place, I move that we adopt the report.
Can I get a second there? Honorable Ndaba?
Yeah, Chairperson, I want to second. Chair, may you please repeat yourself? What did you say about human resources?
On human resources, I said we must highlight the issue of nurses that we found in theatre that were not theatre technique trained, but working, scrubbing in theatre. And that is a very serious hazard, both to themselves, nurses. We stress that to the management, and they promise that they will address that. So that it must reflect in the report, it must reflect in the findings, but it must also reflect in the recommendations.
I thought, in the Northwest, issue of human resource, sometimes we put it down as well. I don't want to mix them, but you'll correct me. There was the issue Yama cleaners in Northwest. Was it Free State? Oh, okay.
Are you then moving?
Yeah, I'm move for.
You are seconding.
I'm seconding, Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go to Free State. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Should we say on page 4, should we say additional observations? What would be the correct?
I'm not sure what I thought. I thought this information for lender infrastructure, mainly. I'm not sure why it's reported as additional observation. It's a more infrastructural problem.
So we'll have to we'll correct that or locate it in under infrastructure. I hope the secretary has noted that. Page 5.
On the end of page 4, going to page 5, I thought that at the end of not sure whether it's the same or speaking, it was a dollar sakane. Where we then met with the civil society movement. Structures outside. Masipuma. We had met with them. So it will have been better to also reflect that, to say the challenges were so huge that even when we went out, we found a protest of civil society structures raising almost similar issues that we found as a challenge in the hospital. That's one. But also, he lays better than the Untantabashus on Alice. I told Aguana security one. The security, I'm sure that was on strike or what, everybody was in Ganela's Pomela. That's the hospital that we
we found that problem.
Thanks.
Yes, I think we'll have to locate that the issue of the NGOs that we met. I just want to check because I've missed it. I noted it somewhere. The state of not only the kitchen in Manapo, but the overall infrastructure, including the, who is that person who's looking, who said he worked alone? There were 7 initially, now he is alone. What do you call that?
Maintenance.
Yes. I think we must elevate that because it touches into a number of issues that were a challenge and a health hazard. Remember, we did say that, in fact, we commended, we raised that with the minister, that if you had powers, would have left Manapo, having closed it down because of its state of in terms of. So please find in the findings so that we are then able to factor in the recommendations that have been raised. And it's one of the institutions that it is a government institution, but it is used by a private company. I'm correct, Honorable Ndaba. It's one, yeah. It's a private company is using everything of government in terms of the utensils, everything. But the company is private, so we raised that. We also raised that with the MEC at the time that we met.
You are not there. When we went to the Pretoria, what was this thing? Health compliance standard. I'm not sure they were launching the
Office of Health Compliance.
Yeah, they were launching the call center. Yes, Labour raised that issue. The union, that the Department of Labour has recommended that hospital be closed.
In the Manap.
Yeah, in Manap, yes. That's what the union was raising. The condition in which it is, as we are saying, I'm just emphasizing the point with how bad the condition was that we observe ourselves. But that was further when we went to Pretoria, raised by that the report that the Department of Labor, unfortunately we have not seen that report, that the Department of Labor released and recommended that hospital must be closed unless extraordinary work is done to it.
Yeah.
Honorable, myself is in to Honorable Nda.
In view of what we have seen and what we have heard, I think we should just recommend a systematic redoing of all the hospitals and clinics in that area, Tawang Fuzanyane district, because there is this other hospital, Mahaik, which the clinic that says is the least performing. And this is the least performing, and we didn't visit the others. Well, there are 73 clinics in that district. And the ones that we have seen, there's nothing really to write home about. They are not well run. The clerk was a painter and a cleaner. He's doing cleaning and painting or whatever. So it means that they don't know what they are doing, or they don't have job descriptions. They just say, well, Chanyela Namklanj, well, Zama always are this thing. It's shocking. It doesn't look like it's a well-run health facilities in the Free State, what we have seen. And it's not only that. Well, I had the opportunity of going into another district. There is just even Western, this other one. But the whole thing needs a thorough overhauling. There are thorough attention, let's put it that way.
Thank you.
website, we'll have to look for how to, what are you proposing for us to fix? Because we can't put in the report the institutions that you visited yourself. But our focus, and we must look into, I'm not quite sure whether you're making an example about those to reflect on the state of Free State.
Infrastructure needs attention, urgent attention, and personnel also need, there is a shortage of personnel, and the personnel also need to be skilled. And also, I don't know whether, actually you saw Manapo, we were recommending that maybe it should be closed down. It was cracked and all sorts of things. Didn't we somehow or other have a feeling that it needs to be closed down to represent the hazard?
We did, Doc. That's what Honorable Malala has just reported, that even it's a report that we must request from the Department of Labor, because it has also recommended that it must be closed down. So we've talked and we've reflected on that, on the state of Manab. So, yeah.
And Mahaig clinic is the least performing.
Okay.
All right. And anyway, you don't know where to start when everything falls apart.
Okay.
It's just.
But I also wonder, I don't know where we are to factor this in our report. Because remember, we went to the Hlabeng regional office where we find a different, with the challenges that are there, but there was a different picture in terms of leadership where everything is insourced, if you remember, everything, clinic and whatever. And it's relatively, and the Office of Health Standard Compliance, I think it also responded when we made an example to them that, in fact, that hospital, we inspected it, it was in a very bad state. We kept on monitoring, we tell them to do this, and they have complied. That is why we found it in that state. As much as there are negatives, but I would think that it will be important that we lift that up to say, when there is leadership and management that is focused and dedicated, you are able to see the good results and an example. It is this hospital at the time that we were there. With those inputs, honourable members, can we get a mover of the report?
No,
honourable Ndaba.
Chair, I wanted to say that number one, that I think where we got good things, we must say it, so that it must not be seen like everything is doom and gloom. But there are places where you can see that here, people, there's leadership, there's efficiency, and everybody is doing his or her own job. In fact, they should benchmark our facilities. If you remember when we were doing those visits, Chairperson, all of us were impressed with regards to the leadership that is provided and in service that is provided by. Let's just spend that lesson. Comrade Fish, let's just say, drop in. Where there's everything right. If the state, in fact, should benchmark in Lokujana, yeah, you know that facilitate. Mm-hmm. But, Chair, I think we want to must raise into infrastructure in terms of our clinics, so we must raise it as a concern. Because really, it's not fair. Ukuthi ama provinces are being given ama grants for to build new clinics and so forth. But when you go to Free State, you still find a four-room clinic. So I think we must find a way on how do we coordinate nicely so that at least it can be raised. Remember, even the NCOP, last, and I think some of the issues that Tina Ngokwethu we observed when we were there, Nabongwabo, they observed them. So now we need to elevate issue infrastructure. But and maybe we must find a way with how do we express it, Google report it. But the issue, I think it's serious. Because at the end of the day, there hazard is a bit bigger song. We must not be afraid, honorable members, to say if it go wrong, wrong. Because this thing of us covering in into the wrong eye, it's not. So we must say it. Because you know, now we're going to go to learn to learn, I say right. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mashavis.
No, thanks. I thought it is reflected on Roland Lanzler, especially in the in especially the Sakinagus at the East. The Clavin Hospital. The last one. Yeah, the one that will set the open. Almost everything about it is positive. There's nothing negative about it. Because it was a very good example of a well managed hospital. In the drop of his
Bethlehem,
yes. So that's the one that we ended with, where we had also a meeting with the MEC. Almost everything there, even those that even the security services, linen, everything was public managed, and it was best managed. And we thought it's an example that must be copied and be used throughout the province and be used as a benchmark in a way. I thought it's going to be reflected somewhere as one of the benchmark story of one of the good story to tell and a benchmark that must be used in that hospital. But as we go to recommendation, Chair, I will also that we're doing the same proposal as I said, infrastructure, human resource. But on infrastructure, let's not just be general about it and say just agent upskill, like you say, ensure that infrastructure challenges and general building maintenance are attended. You should then say, in particular, Monapo Hospital, because that hospital, it's in a very dire state, honorable members. So we can't just generalize about infrastructure without lifting that hospital as a matter that it must be given special attention. Hoping by now it has, because we did raise the MEC, hoping the he was changed, another one was put. Few months after we've left, whether the new MEC that then will get appointed after that had the same understanding and priority. But the good thing is that when the issue was raised there in Pretoria, the department was present and hoping that they did take the matter up. But as you're saying, sir, we need to get that report from the Department of Labor. Maybe an updated one. Maybe they've gone back just to get what is the current state of that hospital. Even it means getting a new report about it specifically. We must begin to, because now more than almost a year now we've gone there. So we need to, just so that anybody, because after a year, if the hospital is still in the same condition, nothing has been done, it means it's worse than we were.
With those additions, I would have thought that members will move for the adoption of the report.
Yeah, with those additions and amendment and improvement, Chair, I propose that we accept the report.
Seconda. Sorry, Honorable James. Sorry, sister. I'm looking at Gauteng. Sorry, Honorable James.
that one is the whole thing, Chair. Danny, we're not I am started there, would be.
You second?
I second.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, that's what I was wondering. That's why her name is not here. Last one is Gauteng, page 1, with the correction that Honorable James was part of the page 1 in Gauteng. She was part of the oversight team. Page 2, can there be order, Honorable Members? Page 2. Whip, can I, if the whip is page 2. Page 3. Page 4.
Yeah.
Which one? on page 4 in the female ward, it's not that it was not locked, but it was not labeled properly. The medicine trolley. Is it Gauteng?
Yeah, Chair, it was yourself and Honorable Mazi Isela who went to the wards. Remember you reported back to say things are fine, it's only smaller than things. We were complaining about somebody who was smoking if you remember. You refresh your mind. But in terms of what we have observed in the wards, you what you told us in that meeting that day, it was that there was no good truck in one ward. It truck trolley abo. That's where into the labeling was the problem.
Right, page 5.
Prominently, there's a high rate of.
Which page is that?
I'm saying that's one of the issues that were raised and which we should have captured as issues, that dominantly have got many foreign nationals that are using the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, page 6.
Page 5, we without taking you back to, I think with the kitchen issue, this was the best kitchen. Myself and Honorable Fish, if you were doing those rounds, the kitchen was extremely neat. Food, the way they serve food, you know, you can see what these people, they know what they're doing. And unlike other hospitals that we visited, but this one was the best. It was like that hospital, let's say, Hello, it's a free state. Yeah, me and Honorable Masalela, we were very impressed when coming to this one. And I think even their laundry, we went there, but emotionally, we are clean, but we are not going to
kitchen and the laundry are outsourced, and sometimes when they send their staff to Masakane for cleaning, they get half or they get old stuff instead of what they sent in there. And that is where the problem is, the outsourcing of laundry and kitchen or catering.
Was that at the district?
No, let's clarify. The Masakane, we're told, is a government entity.
Is it?
So it's not outsourced. It's a government entity. Yes. Yes, they did complain about it, but not that it's outsourced. It is a government entity. Mm-hmm. It is provided by the state.
Yeah.
The only challenge was that there was a lot of inconsistency in the supply of cleaners. But it's an entity of the state.
Can you press the mic? Honorable Shalil.
The kitchen... The committee was also informed that the kitchen is only responsible for preparing of breakfast for patients and receiving, storing, warming, and delivering ready-made meals, lunch and dinner to patients. Now, this was delivered by somebody.
By Masakane.
It's Masakane, yeah. Yes. Masakane is not...
It's the government entity.
Honorable myself, Masakane is a government entity. We can't then say it's outsourced or it's a private. It's where Tshwane district that is how they are going to do it, but still being done by government. All right, page 6. The only thing that we're correcting, members are correcting, is that it is not a private company. That's what it's been corrected. It is a government, it's a unit which is run by government. Well, I get your point, but I want you to understand that the Honorable Mashalele.
I was saying no. It's true that they raise an issue about how Masakane is rendering the service on their behalf. Yes, but we're dealing with the myth that it's a private. But the issue of Masakane not providing the necessary service in accordance with the hospital needs was raised as a concern. And it must be reflected somewhere in a way.
Page 6.
I think with the issue of page six.
What is captured with 4.12, I think that's a true reflection of what we got. And there was an issue, Honorable Chair and Honorable Mahlalela. I think there was an issue about the generator. You still remember, if you can just remind us, that there was an issue regarding the generator. I don't know whether the issue was that a generator is on the other... But there was an issue about the generator. If you can refresh your minds.
Where there were two generators that were not working, and the testing, which was supposed to be marked to the testing, we find that the test was done long, more than 2-3 weeks ago.
and that created a problem, a lot of gaps into it, and there were things that were not working, and some of them only realized on the day that we're there.
Oh yeah.
So it was the one in Manap, which was on that site alone there, if you recall. There were two. One was old, another one was new.
Oh yeah.
But all of them were not working.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's one person who was dealing with maintenance.
Yes.
That's it. Page 7. That's Gauteng. Page 8.
There was some problems in Stanza Vupape. Remember that they were not feeling safe. The question of safety came to the fore, and also. There were some incidents of assault somewhere around there. So that should be taken, highlighted, because that's one of the shortcomings about Stanza Vupape. Otherwise, the rest are, they are trying like every other people where things are not honky-dory, but they are trying. I just wanted to highlight this because it came to the fore that they were not safe. They need security.
Okay. I think the other thing under Stanza Vupape is the issue of laundry. Remember that it's where I also took a sample to show the MEC. So the issue of security, the issue of laundry, which patients are not getting a laundry that is of a standard of a hospital. Honorable Mashele.
When we were at the first clinic, Ulane Clinic, there was the issue of the ward-based teams. There was something about whether they were on strike or they suspended the service, but there was something which not there no more working because there was no agreement on the contract or something. But there was a problem with the Amawad based teams are no more reporting as though here is recorded as inconsistency, but there was an issue of a deadlock between provincial government or department and the ward based teams. It was not just a matter only for that clinic as well, but also the clinic that we went to at what is this area there when you're going towards northwest?
Soshanguv.
Yeah.
In fact,
page 8, page 9. I think the problem is, let me comment when we are done on how on the structuring of the report, so that we are able to, and because we are really faced with that, what Honorable Mashaela said initially, then when it's clubbed under one paragraph, you are finding it. Whereas the report, when you read it under security, it must reflect. It must not reflect under emergency room. Under emergency room, I make an example, the issue of security, blah, 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 blah. Under, if then me, under emergency, if that's what was reflected, the issue of equipment, it must not, because it really makes so. When we are done, I will make some recommendations on that. Page 9. Page 10. The committee noted with, which is 7.1, the committee noted with concern the files in the consulting room, comma, even on the beds. I don't understand. Can that be reworked? We noted with concern that the files in the consulting room. Yes, I think we must rework that. No.
Chair, I'm not sure with regards to. You remember if when we were there in those clinics, say Pretoria, there was a concern with regards to USAID staff that was all over at the clinics, and they will raise it, and I'm not sure how we're going to put it, because all what we were concerned about is that whether they are replacing a vacant post with USAID personnel, because we're not even sure what are they doing in those facilities, and what is the service level agreement they have with the department. I think that's one issue that we need to raise. I don't know how, but I think that was another concern, whether they are taking that information to the department, whether they are taking that department to somewhere else, how do they account? I think that's another issue. That was a concern for us.
But remember, Honorable Ndaba, we never challenged, if my memory serves me well, we never raised that with the MEC when we met here, the issue of the information in which has been the people, these people that you are raising. I don't remember us raising it and then getting an answer that we can then make a recommendation. But I'm subject to correction. Honorable Mashani.
No, sir, you are right, but this is our report. Our report is not informed by discussion with the MEC. Not necessary that when we went to the MEC, we raised everything. The MEC was a courtesy call, of which we raised certain issues, not everything. So whatsoever thing that we think needs to be put in the reports, which we raise as a problem, regardless of whether we raise with the MEC or not, we were bound to reflect it in the report. Not only issues that when we met with the MEC, we were able to raise with the MEC, no. Everything that we observe amongst ourselves, because when we met the MEC, we have not yet consolidated our views and our reports. We're just sharing information with the MEC on issues that we think we thought are urgent that require special attention while we're still preparing our reports going forward. But it was not only limited to those issues that we raise when we finalize our report. And Honorable Nontala is correct, because at KT Mtubat. That's where this matter we raised, because they had an office where they were operating in that clinic, and that's a clinic that we also recommended that it require for a status of being a CHC, because it was still operating as a clinic instead of a community health center. And that's where we found those USAID having their own personnel, their own offices, and that's where this matter was raised, helped with them. And then, so it should be reflected in a report in one way or another here. And then how we recommend, that's another matter, but we need to see how we make a recommendation out of it.
Okay. All right. Point taken. We're on page 10.
Chairperson, I think another concern that we had in these facilities, I don't know whether when we speak of AMA robots, we are also talking about community healthcare workers, because there was a, if you remember, another concern that we had that day, there was one official who is a chief director who's responsible for whether for robots and for community healthcare workers, which on paper they claim to have all those people, but in terms of practicality, those people are not, even herself, she was saying, they're not there. I don't know whether they all fall in that, what Comrade Fish, or what Honorable Masalela have raised regarding elocution. These people are said on paper, which they are there, but in terms of practicality and the work that, the services that they are supposed to be offering, there was confusion, and they were not there.
Can I humbly request that members raise their hands, please? I just wanted to check before you speak, Honorable James, is that are we referring to the meeting that we had at KT Mutubati, where a whole, I think it's the leadership of the warboards came and reflect, or it is when we were at Wolani Clinic, because there are those that we met at Wolani Clinic, there are those then we finally, whom they said they are then the leadership when we were at KT Mutubati, if honourable members can. So I want to, the two members that are going to, Honourable James, then it's going to be Honourable myself, if we can.
Thanks, Chair. I think, I can't remember, but where we are upstairs, I can't remember which clinic that was. The one that went upstairs and walked up the stairs, that one, where there was the leadership of the warboards, where they felt that before it was the community health workers, and then no one was asked of which standard they have. And when now the warboard thing started, now they started wanting to establish what standard you have, and they only could take metrics, and they couldn't take those that are lesser, and that was a conflict. Now, as I was saying, we've worked for many years with all the experience, but now we're not being absorbed. And that was now the conflict that they had. I think even Katale Mashago mentioned that, I can't remember what the company that they used to actually run that assessment. Myself. Thanks, Chief.
Honorable
Mason. Yeah, it was at Mutubati where we found one team of robots. Then there were others who were dismissed because there was a smart person that was introduced, and these people did not like what was happening, and they were dismissed. And that was, at that time, around Gauteng, there were a lot of all those people who were being re-evaluated, and they refused to work under the smart pass. They wanted to be paid through PESA. So it was during that time that there was no, actually there were no robots at all. It was only towards the way we found one team, and they said the catchment area is too big for them to cope. And then, because you remember I asked a question about the malnutrition, the children were dying of malnutrition, and then they said no, it's because they come from the neighboring areas and so on and so on. So, and then of course they complained bitterly as well about Masakane, that they don't return laundry.
No, thank you, honourable members. We are now on page 12. I think we're then done with the issue of the issues that we raised in terms of the robots. Page 13. There's something that I want to hear in this report. This, not unless it's my document, because in my document what I've picked up is that there are no findings. From page 13 you go to 14, and from 14 you go into recommendation. There is no heading that says findings. It's page 9 which talks about the meeting with the member of the executive. And after that, we go straight to recommendations. I don't know where are the findings. Can where? Page. Honorable Masale.
No. I was saying there's some element of inconsistency in this report versus the other two reports. They are reporting a meeting with the MEC as if in Free State and Northwest we didn't, while we did. And they are taking as if the meeting with the MEC we put a recommendation. Findings, which will not be the case. If there is any issue about meeting with the MEC, it should apply to all the reports. But we did have a courtesy visit with the MEC, managed to highlight some of the critical issues that are reflected in the report without mentioning any. We managed to raise all the major issues that are mainly in the report with a member of the Executive Council in all the three provinces, because that's what we did. And then from there, then you have findings in all of them. But here in Gauteng, they've treated it differently. I don't know why, because they should be, yes, and a topic around in all the three that we've met with the MECs. And then this, without mentioning specific issues.
Yeah.
And then from there go to findings, and then from there go to recommendations.
No, thank you very much. Honorable, with that, I would have thought that with that correction, Honorable Masalela, you will move if there is anything else that you have found. Honorable Ndaba?
Yeah, I think I want to agree with Honorable Masalela, because when you mention the things that we discussed with the MEC, you'll have then to write even her response, which then now, you know, the very problem for T. So the best thing, let's not write what we discussed with the MEC, but let's write what we met with the MEC at the end of the visit, and then we write our findings which and make our recommendations. Yeah.
Can we get a mover? Honorable Man, it says.
Yeah, the team that runs through the whole thing of Swani is one, there were no warbots. It's only one team at Mutivat. Two, the Masakane Laundry Services is compromising service big time in all the places where it serves. It must be looked into very urgently and quickly. The third one is security. If people are not secure, they will not even go to the clinic because they fear they may be injured or they may be. They would rather go to a hospital where they think that they even without referral. So those three things are critical, and we should recommend that they are urgently looked at.
Honourable Ndaba, then Honourable Mahlalele.
Chair, I think there was one clinic, Honourable Members, except that hospital that is attending to foreign nationals, Gakulu, but there was another facility that had the same challenge of attending to foreign nationals, Gakulu. I don't remember what he prepared to run a clinic like outside. You remember, Chair, I think in one of the facilities, baby complainer about pregnant women, about gestation and so on and so on. I forgot which one of the clinics. What is in the Tarani?
No, I was agreeing that we must add this issue of robots, because if we don't make any recommendation under the robots challenges that we found there, in Tshwane in general, but it means it was applying across the province of Gauteng, so that we're able to track that and then basically the progress when once the report is adopted. And then the second issue, the issue USAID, must be put there, and then a recommendation that the department must maybe give us a detailed terms of reference of the role of the USAID in those facilities. Yeah, well. And then on the infrastructure it in the same way that we've agreed infrastructure, but on infrastructure, let's also be, while we're general about agent issues, but be specific on KT Mutivat's clinic, because I mean the queue that was there and was terrible. Just imagine when it was raining. Yeah. Because people were lying all over because there was not even space to queue inside. If it was raining, and normally in Pretoria during this time now, the degrees is about 30-something degrees, and people are queuing there in that heat. There's no shelter, there's nothing. You know? So it's one of the... It's either a new clinic is built to offload the pressure of that clinic, because I was looking at the space, but even if you want to expand it, I'm not sure how I'm going to expand that clinic, unless so something urgent needs to be done about either creating another clinic or expanding the existing clinic so that we're able to make sure which people, the way how they're being handled, the queue that was there was, it was early in the morning when we started there, but the queue that was there was very unbearable.
And correct that thing, Chair. It's where we find that doctor. Actually, lawyer doctor in Luyan, or she go
and
my baby. Actually, you're going to share some pants. You said no. There's a concern. Serious. You remember we visited one clinic in Pretoria, where the doctor was not wearing appropriate clothing in terms of wearing, whether it does code or apron, puzzle.
and the chair asked doctor, "Why are you not wearing, you know, apron pezulu?" And I think football African are late. Cecil Apian, and that the doctor who gave Vuce attitude. If you remember.
Oh, no, I remember. It is that. Is it that clinic that? Because what I was going to raise is that, among other things, the planning in terms of where that hospital, that clinic is located, is very troublesome because it's just opposite a bottle store. If you still remember. Yes, it's just opposite. Yeah, Yuhulanje bottle store. It is also in that clinic where the attitude of that doctor, whom then the sister in charge said, "In fact, I have got a problem with her. She's who always arrives late and whatever." So we'll find a better way of in fact. Yes, that's
the
The bottle store found the clinic there. So why a bottle store was built just in front of yes. So I want to propose that we also reflect on that, because it's really quite a serious problem that a municipality can then build a bottle store just opposite the clinic. It's a bad planning. Can we then, with all those reflections, honourable members, the secretariat will see on how those are reflected. Can we get a mover and a second, honourable Maisel?
I move with all the amendments that the report be adopted.
Can we get a second?
Okay.
A second.
Okay, a second, Chair. With all the amendments.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you, honourable members. I just want to, first, I want to, because obviously it then means the Office of the Chair and the Secretariat must ensure that immediately after we come from an oversight, we're able to adopt the reports, try and find a space to do that so that we don't forget some of the issues were able to remember. Two is that I will humbly request the Secretariat that in terms of the format, our reports must be consistent in terms of the format, so that because immediately they are adopted and the ATC, they are of public domain, people must then be able to follow our work, because communities will follow our work through these reports when they are ATC. And thank you very much, honourable members. Tomorrow we are okay.
Have we not adopted the chief the report?
We have adopted the report.
I thought you were saying when we come back we will still adopt them.
We have adopted the report. I am just reflecting on the period.
What I thought you were saying, when you come back, there must be 80 seats and be tabled in the house. Yeah. Okay.
No, I was reflecting on the time frame that now has made us to be able to forget what we saw and whatever. So I think as the Office of the Chair, I'm taking full responsibility. That's why I'm saying we'll have to, in moving forward, because we're still going to conduct an oversight. So we have adopted the reports. Thank you very much. We will then follow the necessary processes after they have been tidied and taken to the necessary step. Honourable James.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to find out if the secretary has included my name in the delegates.
Yeah.
No, that we have corrected that. Sorry. Thank you very much. There's what that has been ordered? Dinner. At 6, and transport is leaving at about 5.
Yeah. So, wena James awukho kuwo wonke ne
What time is the last bus? It's 6 o'clock. The last bus is 6 o'clock, but it's committee week.
Ah, you are productive, you are productive. Sakumbula, ne? Yakumbula, into Zing, Besses, Sakumbula, man. Yes, Gift and hospitality. Is any hospitality intended as a gift? In kindness with food, all personal gifts. So mago yimi nawe ekhaya. Ngivala lezo stories.
Hayi, yimi nawe.
If you partner yam in family.
No.
Not the issue with abantu omuntu ongaphandle.
Yeah. Yazi leto. Ma ufinisha no ntombazana.
Angithi nayo ilwana ne-last year. Angithi wambuthise le-last year.
Ngiyithathile.
Oh.
So kuna
something lo-confuse up.
Yeah, that's why I even
tell
the
problem. No, if some family member gave you something, if you want to disclose, you can only disclose it here under, for family, under confidentiality.
So, but, if you want to disclose.
Oh.
Yes.
Lana abhali izimoto phela bondi phela mara nemoto ngibhalile la
comrades please
le bonda uyibhali la you don't write anything
makabali
mangabe kunimini
hayi ke you must check your
that is not related to the bond or
bangole ko babami
or to the bond or to the car. Yeah, that is yeah, you don't know. I'm not sure
confidentiality.
You can write it here.
Okay.
But not the bond.
Oh.
They even mentions no, that includes they exclude the bond or the car.
Okay.
What would these ladies do without you to organize them?